Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is At The Turn. It's time for discussion and interviews about the world of golf you won't hear anywhere else. Here are your hosts, Nick Heidelberger and Joe Simons.
Hello, hello. Welcome into another episode of At The Turn. Joe and Nick are with you for the first time in seemingly months. It's only been a couple of weeks, but I'm looking at Nick live on tape from Moscow right now. You've made the trek from the East Coast. You're back home where you belong. How does it feel?
It feels incredible. I would go out on a limb and say that since the last time we talked a couple weeks ago, like, my life hasn't changed so dramatically in such a short period of time. Perhaps, like, since I was married or since Gavin was born. Like, when you have your first kid, like, that's the biggest change imaginable because your life just completely changes. But this is probably the biggest, the most amount of change. In a short period of time, it's all good stuff for the most part. We're super excited to be here. I'm glad to be back on this podcast. You haven't found a permanent replacement for me yet, so I'm appreciative of that. And when I first got to Idaho, I got to say, we had like 3 or 4 days in the high 50s. Oh. I thought golf season was going to be here. But then we've been getting like an inch of snow every day for the last like 5 days. So not quite yet.
Yeah, it's pretty tough in the Pacific Northwest. I actually had what I thought was going to be my official start of golf season on Saturday, the 2nd. The spring opener was scheduled at Stone Creek Men's Club. And the forecast was not great, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the rain gloves. I'm going to get out there. I love being a mutter. I get out there in 82, you know, you hang in there for like a tough 82 and you win some cash, that kind of day where it's just, you know, you got to really trudge along. And I woke up at 5 a.m., had my breakfast burrito, 2 Stumptown cold brews, did a little yoga, got in the car at 7:30, my rain suit on, and I thought, you know what? I should probably check to see if this tournament is still happening because it was literally snowing. It wasn't sticking, but it was 36 degrees. Sure enough, I called the shop and the tournament had been postponed. So I was in this horrible position where I didn't want to play golf anywhere else because the only benefit of playing golf on a day like this is you're going to stack against other people who are also playing in the same conditions. So it's not like, oh, my tournament's canceled. Let me go down the road to another course and play by myself in the snow. Like, that sounds horrible. So I just kind of chilled and did a bunch of errands. And it was a productive day, but really, Just a kick in the teeth when you want to start your golf season with like this mutter kind of tournament, and then you just have to wait. But everyone feel really bad for me because I just got back from Hawaii, and that's what I found was that snow day. So don't shed a tear for Joe Simons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not feeling too bad for you. I think that unless you live in like Florida or Arizona or Texas, like that's just how the start of golf season goes. You might get that really good day, or you might like try to brave some treacherous weather, and it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, March, in like a lion, out like a lamb. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Now, Nick doesn't sound like his usual self the audio quality will improve the longer he's in Moscow. He furiously ripped through boxes, could not find his official podcast microphone, but he's a gamer, so he's here giving you the best audio quality he can for today. But Nick, assure the patrons that it will improve. Assure me, mostly.
Yeah, you know, we got the backup in there. The starter is MIA, but, you know, we'll find it. It'll improve one of these days. Audio quality is not my thing. I'm not too concerned about it. I'll let you worry about that, and I'll just show up and record, and we won't worry about it.
Hilarious perspective to have on an audio medium. Please rate and review this podcast. Give us 5 stars on Apple, on Spotify. Thank you so much for your Instagram messages, Nick. I checked the Instagram messages for At The Turn, and we had some nice ones in there, so really appreciate that. A guy wanted to play with me at the OGA course where the Mid-Am is, kind of in a prep round, so appreciate that. Had a submission for the Mad Golfer of the Week, which, Golf Goods, if you're listening, I really appreciate you sending that, and I was going to use it for today's episode until I watched the most recent episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and there's a screenshot on Golf Reddit, and he pulled it from there, and it's like, oh, this should be your Mad Golfer of the Week, and it's this hilarious list of, like, the tuna sandwiches suck, the bread is stale, everyone's rude here. I'm like, oh, this is perfect, and that's just a screen grab from an episode of television. So no fictional Mad Golfers of the Week. We have enough real Mad Golfers of the Week out there where we don't need that, but thank you for your submission, and please continue to send us messages on the social media. We really do appreciate it. Nick, I'm going to start with my trip to Hawaii because it leads into, I think, our main topic for today. I played 27 holes, and it was really nice. There was 3 nines out there. Waiakaloa Village Golf Club. You know, it's a resort, so they're going to charge you quite a bit. It was like $90 for 9 holes, but you're in Hawaii, everything's expensive, whatever. You know, just grit it and do it. So I played 9.
Just don't make like a triple on the first hole. Be like, oh, that 7 just cost me $10.
What a waste of money and time this has all been. I played 9 holes with Lacey, which was fabulous. Oh, we had a really good time. Yeah. She's not a golfer. She was striping the driver and the 7-iron so much that I took pictures of both, and I'm going to buy them for her to, like, sort of, you know, nudge her along a little bit and getting her a set. So that was a great time. Oh. And then Monday, I was going to play the other 9 holes, or another 9 holes, I should say. I was only going to play 9. And I was by myself. I was excited, had the cart, was prepping a little bit, getting, you know, this is great. I'm hitting off real grass in February. Let's go. And I pull up to the starter, and it's a very small driving range. There's like 8 stalls. And it's 11 o'clock in the morning, so they're all full. Go up to the starter. It's about 15 minutes before my tee time. I'm like, hey, I'm going to hit a couple balls. He said, fine, just wait for a second. So I do, and a stall opens. But again, you're really, really tight. So I grab my driver, one of my new sand wedges, and 7-iron. And I put my clubs down, and I peg my driver in the ground. And you know that feeling that you have when you stand over the golf ball, and you're like, is my bag too close to my club? Like, am I going to hit it on the downswing? And you usually, like, err on the side of being conservative, and then you move your bag out of your way, and you reset, and you go about your business. Well, I had set my clubs, my 7-iron and my wedge, kind of close to my driver, but I kind of eyed it out of my periphery, and I said, well, I'm not going to hit those things. This is fine. And I take the club back, and I swing down, and it sounded like the earth shattered. It was such a loud noise. And I kind of looked around and I was like, all right, well, I'm the fucking idiot that just did that. And it's like when you get into like a small fender bender, like, okay, what does the car look like? How bad is this? I'll take a picture and send it to you.
Oh my God.
The actual driver itself is fine from a playability perspective. However, if you look at the bottom of the club face, there is a gash, and I mean a gash, in the bottom of it. But
okay, hold on.
Okay, good.
How can you say there's a gash in your driver head and the playability is not affected at all?
Well, the only thing I'm concerned about is it an illegal club now? So I don't know if that is something that I should be concerned with. But I'm telling you, if you were to see where the actual mark on the driver face is, I will never be impacting the ball with where the driver has a little gash. And on the face, it is almost microscopic where you can tell something is wrong. It's just when you flip it over, there is a pronounced gash in the club face. And I did end up playing 18 holes, and I might say hit the driver pretty well. But
okay, I gotta ask. I'm just trying to picture how this happened. Like,
I know
you, like you struck the 7-iron as it like you just bottomed the club in the wrong spot, right where the 7-iron was in gash. Is that what happened?
So the sand wedge is what I actually hit, and the sand wedge. Yeah. And so it is a driving range where, you know, like there's like the wooden posts that separate players, and you kind of rest your clubs or your bag on them to sort of indicate you're using them, and that's where you put your clubs to get them out of the way. Because there were so many people, there wasn't a rack for me to put them, so I kind of just haphazardly threw them on the ground, tried to hit a couple balls and get to the first tee. If I had taken 5 more seconds to just nudge the sand wedge out of the way with my foot, this never would have happened. But yes.
How close?
I thought it was an impossibility that it was going to happen. You know, something was wrong with my swing plane. I don't know
You're a ball striker. Like you're out of the center every single time. Like for me, I'd be like, this thing needs to be like 3 yards away. Just to make sure we're safe, right? Because I hit it all over the club face. You're a ball striker, man. Like for you to miss. And I'm not, this is not a critique at all.
No, I know.
I'm very surprised that you mishit a shot to the point where you hit a golf club instead of hitting a golf ball.
Now, I've done dumb things on the golf course, and I will again this year. So
yeah,
dumb.
We all have.
I've gotten so drunk that I can't remember certain holes at times in my life. I was stone cold sober, Nick, and this is what I did. I even worked out that morning, so I had endorphins going. Like, I could not have been more clear-headed and still did the dumbest thing I ever done. So, suffice to say, I'm in the market for a new driver. And
mm-hmm. You've got to post the picture on Instagram, by the way. I need this on you have to turn Instagram.
I will. It'll okay. Yeah. I'll post it in conjunction with the episode. This will be how we'll lure people to the episode. Look at the exactly. Dipshit who hosts this golf podcast. Listen to what he has to say about this game.
Take our golf advice.
It was definitely a really embarrassing thing, but like I said, I hit a lot of drivers. I hit them well, which leads me to believe that I could continue to use this club. That being said, it was really windy in Hawaii, and I don't hit the ball low. So downwind, that thing was sailing, but I had a couple of drives that I launched into the wind, and they went like 230. There was a par 3 that was 217, and I literally hit a driver pin high. Right. So it's the gash, and also that I want to max out my driver, and you and Romy have been screaming at me to do this for years, and
yeah,
I'm finally going to do it. I texted you guys and I was like, hey, what should I do? Where do I start to get a new driver? And you both said the exact same thing. Go to Club Champion, let those boys take care of you, or the girls, whoever is going to be helping you out. They'll fit you with the right things. Don't fall for the $500 shaft. But definitely maximize what you're doing and see what club is happening. So I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to get that done in the next couple of weeks. But you know, it is interesting timing because I have what is the second most important round in my golf calendar after the Corner Club Open final day is the qualifier for the Oregon Mid-Am is coming up. And so I'll likely have a new driver in the bag at that point. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah. That is really exciting. I'm glad you're gonna get fit. It's a bummer what happened to your driver. You know, all intent aside. Okay, I know I did give you a few pieces of advice, and one more thing struck me after that text conversation came and went. But I think you need to ask your fitter, because I don't think they will do this on their own. But I think you need to ask them about the length of the driver. Like, if they try to tell you that you should be playing a 45-inch driver or a 45 3/4-inch driver, like just the off-the-rack length, I would question that. And they'll probably, I don't know if they'll, you know, give you shorter lengths to try or what, but I went to a fitting. I brought my cut-down driver there because it's for, like, the basis of comparison. And my fitter actually put, I didn't even know this existed, a 2-wood shaft into the driver heads that he started fitting me for because of that. I mean, I tried the standard length, and then he put me in the 2-wood shaft, and that's the one we kind of fit to. Which I thought was, again, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a two wood shaft. But it was a little bit shorter and it worked well, and it was better dispersion, same distance, all that stuff. So I would at least ask, I don't know if they'll have shorter shafts for you, but I would just at least ask that question.
Well, the shorter shaft is something I thought of almost immediately because we'd had that discussion recently about the testing you had done, and I'm 5'8", so all of my clubs are shorter than standard length on purpose. My 5-wood, I literally had an inch chopped off it, and now I hit it so much better than I used to. It's kind of my go-to fairway finder club. And the other thought besides the shorter shaft, and I'll get into this more on the episode after I end up buying the driver and going through the fitting, is there's this mini driver that TaylorMade makes. And I am so fascinated with the idea of, because my 5-wood has a very low profile, and that's the idea with the mini driver. It's a smaller head, lower profile. Is there a club out there that I could have with a low profile, like a mini driver, like this Titleist 5-wood I had, but at 8.5 degrees? Like, why doesn't that product exist? What am I losing by having a smaller club face? Obviously, you know, bigger club face, more room for error. But if my concern is returning the club to the center, to returning the club, you know, to the ball in the center of the club face every single time, and I feel comfortable doing that with my 5-wood, which I do, what would be the difference with the driver? It would just go farther, right? Like, is that a weird thought process?
No, it's not. And I think the club you're talking about, I've wanted to test it. It's one club that I've like sought out. I've tried contacting TaylorMade. They've completely ghosted me. I've never had it at a fitting. I know, I can't believe it. But everything I've seen from other people who actually have tested it is it's almost just as long as their driver and way more accurate. Like, I would definitely, I don't know, some people are like, the problem is, does it replace a driver? Does it replace a 3-wood? Like, people don't want to give up a different club in their bag. I don't think most people are getting rid of their driver unless they just absolutely are done with it. But I think it's a really good thought, and I'm glad you're thinking along those lines, because I watched one like at length YouTube video specific on that club, and the guy was hitting the mini driver, like, I want to say 290 or 300, a little bit shorter than he normally hits it, but like so consistent. It was like, why would you not have this in your bag, or at least try it out?
Yeah, it's difficult to suppress the old ego and, you know, take what is supposed to be the most fun part of the game, just freaking mashing your driver and sacrificing 7-10 yards and say, all right, well, instead of hitting 35% of your fairways, you're not going to hit 65% of your fairways. Like, how much better would your, it sounds insane that you would choose the longer club, but you know, Pepsi Challenge, if you're about to play around with your boys and you want to hit it farther than them, are you going to be able to swallow your pride, choose the mini driver and enjoy dinner because you shot a 74 instead of an 81. Like, it's an interesting conversation, but I think it's tough to do in practicality.
And I think there's no blanket statements. I can't say that you're going to hit it this much more consistent, this much longer, but you should definitely try, because at your length, Joe, you can afford to lose, let's call it 7 yards, and still be longer than 90% of like 10, 8, 7 handicap players. So you would really be gaining on them if you do hit it more accurately. But again, you have to try it. Like, it's not every club is for every player, but if it just works for you, if it's a fit, then like it's silly not to put it in the bag and step up to a tee knowing there's a really good chance you're going to hit the fairway. And if you don't, you know exactly where it's going to go. You can take that out of bounds, out of play. Like, that's going to lower your scores more than like squeezing every last yard out of two drives per side.
It'll be a really interesting experiment that I go through. Hopefully, I got to do it soon, because again, the qualifier
you got to do it soon.
If
that qualifier is coming up. I love the way you're thinking. You sound like you're very open minded, and you are just kind of an open book and take whatever the numbers say works best. So I'm glad you're thinking. You're already setting yourself up for success.
I really appreciate that. We'll see how much my pocketbook is willing to sacrifice to get this new driver. But I'll keep you and, of course, the patrons posted as we go along. Mm-hmm. One more tangential topic from Hawaii. There have been times in my life, one of these was with you, where you get a little bonus golf. You know, you play 18. It's going faster than you expected. Oh, we only teed off 3 hours ago and we're on 17 tee. Can we get another 9 or 18 in? A little bonus golf. And I had just an incredible experience at Waikoloa Village. I can't remember the guy's name, and I wouldn't put him on blast. But I played 9, and I played so fast. I was by myself, despite being yelled at by a couple in front of me because they thought I was pressing them too much. Despite that happening, I played 9 holes.
Slow down.
Well, it was funny because I was close to them, and there was a couple in front of me and behind me. I was by myself. But we were playing so fast, I never, like, pressed them. But there was one hole. It was a short par 4. It was, like, 290. Tough driving hole. I hit a 3-iron into the wind. And I hit it, you know, a little bit left, and I had 60 yards left, and I drive up, and the old man just yells at me, and he's like, "You can play through!" Kind of like that, inferring that, like, I screwed up. And I was like, "No, I'll stay back here," because he wasn't being like, "You can play through this hole and then play through us." It was like, "You can skip ahead a hole." And I'm like, "I paid $90 to play here. This hole's $10. I'm not leaving. Like, I'm going to play and get this score." And then I tried to ask him a question to, like, soften it. I was, because it looked like a waste area bunker. And I was like, do you play this as a bunker, or what do you play this as? And of course he never responded. And then I just let them screw off, and, you know, the drink guy ended up coming, so we had a nice conversation, and he gave me a couple of beers. So anyway, I play the 9 holes in like 75 minutes, and I call Lacey, who's at the pool, mm-hmm. and I'm like, "Hey, I'm playing pretty fast.
Hey, on the 3rd hole, if it's really backed up here, it's going to take a while."
I came clean, and I was like, "I'm on the 8th hole. I'm flying. Like, can we meet at 3 instead of 1? And she's like, "Yeah, that's fine." I mean, she's at the pool drinking beer, so she's not, like, in any great hurry to move on to the next part of her day anyway. So I drive up to the starter, and I'm like, "Hey, I've only paid for 9. How do we look on the other 9? It'd be cool to play all 3. Like, I can either go back in the house now and pay, or I can catch you afterwards. Like, it's fine. Like, I'll pay." And he's like, he looks at the sheet, and he's like, "Oh, I think you're good here." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Can I?" So I'll run back in the house, and he looked at me, and he goes, "You're good here." And I was like, "Whoa. Whoa." So Joey got a free 9 holes.
So good.
And it was great. I met a couple guys from Vegas. We had some drinks, a few laughs. It was like, I met them and I was like, "Hey, is there a drink cart?" And he's like, "No, but I have like 6 Coors Light in here if you want." I was like, "Oh my God, my new best friends."
Yes.
So it just made me think, times you've played bonus golf in your life that have gone well and gone bad. Do you have any other examples besides and the time I'm referring to is we played at Wildwood together, which is a wonderful course just north of Portland, played 18. And I can't really remember what happened. Do you remember what happened, why we decided to play 18 more?
Well, I had no obligations. I don't really think you had any obligations. And we had daylight and we had hot dogs. And I think that was that. I mean, it was a crime of opportunity.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. I think I've only done it that time. And then I have a very infamous story, which I must have told in this podcast before, where I was playing at my home course, Glendevere, with a guy that Lacey and I both knew from radio. And we were drinking, having a good time. And the 18th on the east side is like a 320-yard par 4. And I hit a gorgeous, like, low draw. Drove the green and from 15 feet made the eagle to shoot par. And I was so excited. I was like, "Let's go again. Let's just keep going. I got to ride this momentum." And, of course, we go in there. We get another tee time. And by the 3rd hole, we were just like, this was a terrible idea. What a mistake. We're both playing terrible. Mm-hmm. I just end up drinking too much. I left my car keys in a golf cart that is already in the shed. So now I'm in the shed looking through 200 golf carts to find my keys. I did not drive home. I just needed my car keys. I can't leave them in a cart. Lacey mm-hmm. came and picked me up. And the worst part was I was 5 hours late to meet Lacey. And somehow we're about to celebrate 10 years together. So learn from your mistakes is really the goal. But that ever since that time, I've been really careful about, that's exactly why I didn't lie to her. I was like, "Hey man, I'm coming clean. Here's the situation." But bonus golf, it's never really led to like a great success for the bonus golf, you know?
Well, that time that you're talking about at Wildwood, that's the only time that comes to mind for me, because I know I've joked about it before, like, you know, you're getting a good round together, and you're like, what's the replay rate, you know? But I can't remember. I'm sure I've done it, but I can't remember other times I've done it. But that round at Wildwood, I'll never forget this. I think like on the 18th hole of the second round, or maybe it was even right after we finished, you know, right after the 18th green, I was like, I felt like I played really good. I think the back nine, I made like, you know, six or seven pars coming in. And I was like, gosh, man, I'm really glad we did that. It's been a really long time since I broke 90. And you just look at the scorecard and you go, well, you still haven't. I think I shot 90 or 91. Like I must have shot like 50 on the front. I was like, okay.
Oh, no. What a dick. Okay,
and you weren't being a dick. You were just like, just matter-of-factly, like, well, you know. But it still felt good. I felt satisfied that I played respectable golf for at least a good chunk of that round, which was nice.
Well, I'm just happy that you played 36 holes of Wildwood, because that is definitely my favorite, like, off the beaten path course in Portland. And it's only gotten better since you've played it. There's new ownership, new management. There's a lot of fun tournaments. They've done a really good job with maintenance. It plays well in the winter. Yeah, Wildwood is a great destination. Okay, that's it for my Hawaii trip. No more. Nick, you must have been, I mean, hopefully the kids weren't too upset because you were glued to the LIV Golf tournament this weekend, I'm sure.
I didn't get a chance to turn it on, mostly because of the viewing window. I was excited that AK made his return. I was more excited than we talked about. You know, we talked about it, and I was like, ah, I don't really care. But then, like, it became real, and I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. That said, I think it was on, like, I don't know, like 1 to 5 in the morning.
That's right.
Pacific time. So I didn't get a chance to turn it on. I did kind of see some tweets about how we played. And, you know, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that he's back. Yeah, I'm a little bit more on board with this than I was earlier.
Yeah, I think it's great that he's back. He did play. He did finish last, and he finished last by a lot. So we got to get that out of the way. He shot 76, 76.
The strength of the live fields that they're putting together these days.
Yeah, so how it's going to work, because we haven't talked about it since it became official, it'll happen quite quickly, actually, is he's not a member of a team. He's a wild card. So he basically has a prove-it year on LIV Golf. So he has to finish at a certain rank, I don't know, better than last. And he was out there. I mean, he did his thing. He improved on the last day. I'm not going to blast the guy for finishing last in his first tournament back. Like, this is his first, like, real golf he's played in, like, nearly a decade. So I'm glad he's back.
It's comparable to like putting an amateur or like a sponsor's exemption, like an up and coming pro who's just out of college, who giving them an exemption at a PGA Tour event. You know what I mean? You get them in there, you get them some reps, but like, of course they're going to miss the cut.
Yeah, it was. I'll be interested to watch when they actually have a tournament that's not in the middle of the night or on the CW. So those are two big impediments for LIV Golf. But I'm glad he's back. It would be interesting to see him actually play, like, I don't know, a real tour event. Or look, they have tournaments coming up in America soon, so maybe I'll tune into one of those. Hopefully he improves. This isn't like even a LIV versus PGA thing in my mind. This is just hey, this guy is like giving it a go. He's our age, literally. Like, this guy's like in his late 30s. It's a pretty ballsy decision, because he's presumably giving up like a $10 million insurance policy to give it a go. So we'll see what happens. I hope he does well. I can't imagine anyone is not wishing him well. He had a weird social media post where he was like, sorry, haters. And I'm like, does anyone hate Anthony Kim? I think we're all very excited you're back. What would be the anti-Anthony Kim opinion right now?
Yeah, the only haters would be live haters. But yeah. Everybody loves AK. Like, he's right. One of the rare sports figures who everybody is like, we need more of this guy. And we've been begging for him for 10 years. Imagine all the pressure he must be. I mean, I've read, like, he doesn't feel pressure. He doesn't care, you know. But still, like, there's not a lot of athletes who, like, are as universally liked by the fans of their sport than AK.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, frankly, a lot of that is because he's been gone for so long. And now that all of our hopes and desires are now like in the flesh of like a third. It's not like this young guy wearing big belt buckles in 24. Now you got this, you know, to be honest, kind of schlubby looking 38-year-old guy with long hair, and he's got some kids and baggage and a little bit of a spare tire. And it's like, all right, well, I hope he does well. I really do. But sometimes the myth is better than the actual reality. We'll see if that bears out with AK coming soon to a live event near you. With that, Nick, unless you have anything else, I'm going to move right to the Mad Golfer of the Week.
Let's do it.
We are going to, by God, Waiakoloa Village, Hawaii, which is just about 30 minutes north of Kona on the leeward side of the island. Watched a lot of local news to figure out windward and leeward, Nick, and I think I have it straight now. This is Waiakoloa Golf Resort in Waiakoloa Village. Like I said, 27 holes. I loved it. I had a great experience. I'll be doing a 30-second review. It was so much fun. Expensive, but it's a resort course. This is not the same opinion of our Mad Golfer of the Week. Anonymous. Real ballsy. Quote, seconding everyone that the staff is very rude. One, we called to book a tee time and Everett said the rates depend on how many other people show up. Eventually, he said it was $75. So we called some other places and when we called back to book, he said it was $95. My BF said, just called you and you said $75. And he said the price can vary. What? Two, we didn't plan on playing, so didn't bring golf shoes. We went to the course to check it out before playing. My boyfriend asked about the dress code, and Everett said, it's like any other golf course. What does that mean? Answer the question.
I love that answer.
Three, we finally went to play, and our tee time was 3:32. When we checked in, Everett said, does anyone else work at this golf course besides Everett, by the way? Everett is doing everything.
Man, he's a busy guy. No wonder he's so grumpy.
Give him a day off. When we checked in, Everett said we're on at 3:48. If he wasn't a jerk in every other interaction, it wouldn't bother me. But we were like, it is 3:32 or 3:48. He said you can go at 3:32, but your group is 3:48. Does he not know how tee times work? Three question marks. The course is fine, but hard to enjoy when it is so annoying.
Oh my God, this is one of my favorite Mad Golfers in a long time. Okay, I've got some follow-ups on each of these bullet points.
Great.
Number one, the price changing. First of all, I don't want to assume how much this person does or doesn't know about tee times, but like,
right.
There's a thing called dynamic pricing where it's just like hotel rooms where if the demand goes up, the price goes up. So that could be what's happening. Also, this person could have been inquiring about one tee time that has like a twilight rate versus a prime time tee time, which is putting the rate like, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that like rates do vary, whether it's what time you're looking to book, dynamic pricing, whatever it is. Second of all, you didn't plan to play golf on this trip yet.
Great
now
point.
All of a sudden you're going to spend $95 on a round of golf and you're the authority and not Everett. Like it sounds like it's just these people who are there and it's like bowling to them. Like, oh, this would be kind
That's
of a
right.
fun way to like spend a couple hours and like, oh my God, it's $95. Like you clearly don't really know what you're doing. Like that's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, it's not laser tag. You make a really good point. It is like bowling where it's like, we got an hour or two to kill. Do you want to try golf, honey? It's like there's a system in place here. Like I'm sure if you like you get back what you put out there. If you were kind to Everett and like, hey, we don't really know what we're doing, I'm sure he'd be happy to explain and like walk you through the process. But you sound like you opened being a dick. So Everett was a dick back to you.
Yeah, and I love the idea that they asked a question that they don't know the answer to, and he just explains that it's just like it is in every other scenario that you still don't know the answer to, and that seems extremely intentional on Everett's part, just to give it back to these people. So that makes me happy. I really like Everett. I'm Team Everett.
Same.
I'm not sure about you, but
I love it.
Makes me want to play this course even more.
Well, it's so funny because it's like, what's the dress code? It's like any other golf course, like. If you have a follow-up to that, again, be kind and say, hey, we're not really golfers. We don't really understand. Then I'm sure he'd say, collared shirt, no jeans. Like, it's pretty simple. Or again, you could Google, what is a standard golf dress code? Like, this information is readily available if you make the effort or, again, are a regular, like, decent human being, which it seems like you're not either of those.
Right. And you know that, like, if they say it's like every other golf course, then it's a golf polo and the golf pants or shorts.
Yeah.
Like it's not like, oh, what's the dress code? Oh, jeans are fine. Like if it's anything other than like what everybody, golfers or non-golfers, understand that like there are such things as golf shirts, like wear a polo shirt. Like that's common knowledge.
Yeah, they have shirts called golf shirts. So if you wear one of those, you're probably in good shape. Congrats, Anonymous. You are the Mad Golfer of the Week. And with that, for the first time in many weeks, it is now time for Nick Rules, brought to you by Matchstick Golf. Use promo code TURN20 at checkout.
We're going to ease our way back into Nick Rules, a similar way to be exited late in 2023. Welcome to handicap posting season to myself, those who live in the state of Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Oregon, Washington, and West Virginia. You all started officially posting scores to your handicap March 1st. I the last few years in Rhode Island or in Massachusetts, we were April 1st. So I always got a few rounds in March with some nice days where I got some preseason rounds in. Not this year. I'm going straight to the official handicap rounds the second that I get out there on the course. I'm not scared.
You're ready to go. You're ready to post.
I'm ready to post.
Idaho surprised me, and like, there are some states that are in the middle of the month, right? Or is that only April?
Because I know there's a lot of March 15s. No, there's a lot of March 15s.
I'm shocked Idaho is March 1st, because where in the state, you're an Idahoan, is it Idahoan or Idahoan? It's Idahoan, right?
Idahoan.
I thought so. Where in the state would you say is the most likely location that you can play golf like the first week of March, like where it's not a snowy year?
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely in Lewiston, they're posting scores.
Sure.
And I don't know. I'm not as familiar with Southern Idaho. I'm sure there are places in Southern Idaho. I like the Nevada border. I would guess they are probably warmer this time of year. There's usually like a region of the state that kind of earns them that spot. Some states are divided in two, or even in Ohio's case, like three handicap posting seasons. That's a little ridiculous. So I'm glad it is what it is. Look, if there's snow on the ground, you're not posting, and that's just kind of the way it is.
How much traveling have you done in the Gem State?
A fair amount. You know, I've been to Pocatello, Boise, sure, a few times, but it's not like I get out and about all the time. You know, some lake getaways here and there, but yeah.
So, like, maybe you're going to grab Ashley and the kids and do a big roadie around the state at some point?
I think we might do like an Airbnb for a two or three nights on the lake. I think
nice.
I could see doing that.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. And that is, Coeur d'Alene's beautiful. And that is Nick Rules. Well, we're back. It is posting season. Check out par three courses near you, which again might be a place to post one of your rounds. It's very interesting. I don't know if you heard Gretchen's answer when I asked her about what you had to shoot in order to be a scratch golfer at a par three course. And she said, basically, if you just shoot par anywhere, you're going to be a scratch golfer. And I was like, that's a really good answer. But I did look up a par three course that has been entered in Oregon. I am an 8 handicap. And at this par three course, Nick, I would be receiving 4 strokes. So that means if I shoot 4 under for par 318, which sounds pretty challenging, that would in essence be a scratch golfer's 4 under at Fiddler's Green, which is the one that we talked about in great detail. Good conversation. Check it out with Gretchen. Glad you're back. Glad I'm gonna get a new driver. Check out Instagram. Hopefully I've had the guts to post a picture of what I've done to my driver in Hawaii. We'll talk very soon. Start posting scores, everybody. Start posting scores.
I'm Lacey Evans. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time at The Turn.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.